I'm Chris Harwood, and this is live from Studio A. We've got somebody who didn't travel that many miles, but it's enough that it's not from Duluth. He's up from the cities. He's actually a UP native, so perhaps, I don't know, maybe Duluth feels more like home. Definitely. In some ways. Eli Gardner's with us today, and he's in town for a gig tonight at Bent Pedal Brewing at 6 o'clock, but he's got a new album coming out this spring called The Fire and the Medicine, and hopefully we'll hear some songs from that today.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you came up today, and the weather, I think, is pretty good. I'm down here in the basement at KMD. Sometimes it's hard to know what's going on outside, but the drive was
yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a good drive.
So this new album, you've been working on it for a few months, and I want to talk to you about that in a minute, but can we start with a song? It'd be great.
Yeah, this first song is called The Mountain. I was riding down the mountain. I could see the lights through the limbs of the trees, and it didn't feel right. On the way to Bozeman, on an hour of sleep, she said she loved me. That's when I found my feet. Found her picking songs in a smoky hotel bar. I had a broken heart and she had a car. It's not like I had a plan or a peace of mind. I was in town on business and that was borrowed time. But it's a long way down the mountain when you're falling free. It's just the way you're wanting. I don't want to be. This is not the love story, this is not the princess bride. She wasn't my salvation, she wasn't even on my side. But if I was broken, maybe she was as well. In a world of deep oceans, she said all you need is a shell. But it's a long way down the mountain when you're falling free. It's just the way you're wanting. I don't wanna be. It's a long way down the mountain when you're falling free. It's just the way you're wanting. I don't want to be.
Eli Gardner, I'm live here in Studio A. A song called Mountain. That's from the latest record, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fire and the Medicine. That song feels... Is it actually biographical?
Autobiographical? It's partly biographical.
Yeah, it's sort of one of those songs. I realize that's a question you ask artists a lot. And maybe that's one of those questions that seems perennial and always annoying, but... But I realize that every song's got to have a little bit of something of you in it.
Right, right.
But whether some of these narratives, which are deep, you know, takes you someplace. And I think certainly universal sometimes, so people can really kind of feel like they're there. Whether that's something that actually happened or not, it maybe is a question that's sometimes too personal to ask. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I did live in Bozeman. I did live in Montana, actually, when I was playing junior hockey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's a part of your biography I didn't know. You played junior hockey.
Yeah, I played junior A out there for John LaFontaine, Pat LaFontaine's brother, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many years did you do that?
I did it 2 years. My senior year of high school and then a year after.
So
that was the year after I played out in Montana for about half a year.
Huh.
Yeah.
So now did you have to finish high school on the road then? Is that how that works?
Yeah, my senior year of high school, I lived downstate Michigan and played for a team in Grand Rapids.
Nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, Bozeman, Montana is, I've been there, I've traveled through there a couple of times. It's very different than the UP or from Minneapolis or from Iowa.
Yeah, those mountains do something to you. Just driving through them. I think there's like no speed limit, if I remember right.
I think for a while there was. It was like as the road, road conditions permit or something like that. I don't know if they've rescinded that or not. I think the numbers proved to be a little too dangerous for that.
Yeah.
But Bozeman, isn't that where the Gibson factory is too? Or it used to be there, the Gibson guitar factory.
Oh, really?
I think they're out of Bozeman. I thought they were. Of course, he's playing a Martin, folks, I should mention. I don't want to advertise for one or the other. This is public radio. Wow, so hockey. So how did you, this is late high school in your early adult life. You're doing hockey, but you're also playing music. You grew up with music in the house.
Yeah, I grew up with music in the house. My dad played classical guitar. I still have his old Martin guitar, actually.
Do you?
Yep.
Wow.
He played, he's playing James Taylor, Jim Croce kind of stuff, but also like classical music. Like he's playing like Bach on the guitar.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is a Martin. Is it a steel string or is it a nylon string Martin?
Yeah, he started out on nylon string. That's kind of how I got my start, too, was playing a nylon string, a Yamaha nylon string.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when I started writing lyrics, my dad started writing songs as well. Hmm. And actually produced an album in our house, like on a four-track Tascam recorder.
With the two of you collaborating on this?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It was mainly him, but I think I had one or two songs where I wrote the lyrics, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that was when I was just learning to play guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those old Tascam. Is this the four-track cassette?
Yes.
Yeah. Which was a great machine in the 90s for a lot of people just trying to get some music down one way or the other. And I think that's actually how Springsteen's Nebraska was recorded, was one of those machines.
Oh, yeah.
So, because it takes both sides of a cassette and mm-hmm. makes four tracks, both, two stereo tracks into four.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's fun, and no matter where you are, too, and that's great. You can just do it at home. So, and nowadays, a home recording seems a little more accessible to many people. But back then, that actually took some forethought trying to plan what goes on which track and how to get it to work.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I ever recorded something was on that home recording setup we had.
Oh.
Yeah,
and it's great that your dad too. It's a good kind of family project to sort of work together and figuring those things out.
Yes, for sure.
Huh. So you started writing songs pretty young then.
I started writing in high school, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah, when my senior year of high school, I started writing songs, but I really was just learning how to play guitar.
Hmm.
Because when I was younger, my dad tried to teach me how to play like the right way, as far as like the classical style way.
Yeah,
With reading music and the how to hold the guitar right and. I lost interest immediately.
Yeah,
As a 12-year-old,
I should point out he did do the air quotes when he said "right way," so that wasn't a true manifesto.
Yeah, forgot we're on the radio.
It's okay. No, so you lost interest. How did you get it back then? You sort of ignored what he was trying to get you to do, or
yeah. And so the second time I was in high school, and I was just like, "Just teach me some chords," and he just taught me some chords and left me alone, and I just woodshed it. Hung out in the bedroom and play guitar as much as I could and just learn songs, because the big thing I want to do was play songs.
Yeah.
And so I just started learning songs, but then immediately I was writing songs as well.
Yeah. I suppose the classical style is it's really practiced. It's often written music that you've got to sort of perfect and play what's written, and songs allow a lot more lateral movement.
For sure.
What your choices are.
Yeah. That's what really I got into. It really attracted me to play music was the expression of the personal side and writing something that, was personal to you.
Well, it's nice that he let that go. Keep looking in there going, I don't know. And there he is with those songs of his. But that's good. I'm glad he gave you that movement. So did you, when you, getting back to the hockey question briefly, not because I need to go into that too far, but what made you decide, were you holding on to both of those options at one time, or did music sort of take a back seat for a moment?
Yeah, I think that's really kind of a transitional period of my life where I was really a passionate, you know, hockey player. And so when I saw, like, I didn't want to do it in college, so kind of transitioning from playing music or playing hockey into music was kind of like a switching of passions almost for me. Yeah.
Was that hard to do?
It was just kind of something just kind of keep at.
Yeah.
You know, music I've been doing for a while, and I've been really, the type of music I like is a very personal kind of stuff where you can't really fake it. So you just got to keep doing
That's for sure. No. Yeah. Well, you can't fake hockey either, I suppose. One could argue.
Right.
You'll be face down in the ice pretty soon.
They are two different things, but in a way, for me, they both made sense as far as like being passionate about something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly takes dedication either way. So
for sure.
Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll talk about the record, too.
Okay.
What are we going to hear?
This next song is called Fictional Women. It's breakfast, brunch, and styrofoam. A little bit late or a little too soon. Coffee and cake we complicate. Look right there, she hesitates. Early rise and midnight texting. He says, she said, what's left or next? What's the meaning to what we're given? Just a vision of fictional women. Anxiety growing, never knowing. Broken nails and doorbells ringing. Crying beer and the letters smear. Dream of doing but never hear. What's the meaning in this world? What's the meaning in this loving? What's the secret to what we're giving? Just a vision of fictional women. Dinner house is an NPR. So near to come, so near and far. What's the secret to what we're giving? Just a vision of fictional women. What's the meaning in this world? What's the meaning in this loving? What's the secret to what we're giving? Just a vision of fictional women. What's the meaning in this world? What's the meaning in this loving? What's the secret to what we're giving? Just a vision of fictional women. Just a vision of fictional women. Just a vision of fictional women.
Live performance here from Eli Gardner, live from Studio A. Song Fictional Women, also from the latest album Fire and Medicine, correct?
Yeah.
That the meaning of that one is a little different, I think, than something biographical. It's really a commentary. I and I'm not sure. When I lived in New York and there was a newsstand on every corner that I'm sure used to be full of nice black and white newspapers,
right,
is now just cover to cover, wall to wall, magazines, glamour magazines,
yes,
models, and lots of sort of primped and preened women, you know, it seems to be sort of postered mm-hmm. everywhere and on every magazine cover in a big city like that. And you, a friend of mine was commenting how this is just, it's so not real. It's just not real at all. And so I was thinking about the phrase fictional women, and I think that there's... That's just such a one facet of anything that women can be. It's a great line of yours, fictional women.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of my idea with writing that song is this idea of, for women and men, like this idealized version of a person, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. of a woman, where it's like they have to be this certain way to be, you know, both in a man's eyes and a woman's eyes, what a woman should be.
Yeah.
Which is just a really bizarre thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Never mind the fact that, of course, it doesn't allow them any lateral movement of their own character, who mm-hmm. they really are, and that you sort of have this expectation of what they are based on how they look.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
So this latest album of yours, you recorded it over the last year or so in Minneapolis?
No, I mean, it's going to be, I think we started like mid-December.
Oh, over the last couple of months?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, it's okay. Going quick. Yeah, we started, I think, mid-December. We had 2 full days where we did all the rhythm stuff, got all the drums down, all the bass down and stuff. And now I'm just working on a few overdubs, just finished up the vocals. And so I just have a few more overdubs to go, and then it's the mixing process. And,
okay. Yeah. So it sounds to me like it's not just a singer-songwriter with guitar or
no,
format.
This is,
you've got some other stuff in there.
Yeah, I've done that in the past, and I really wanted to... get more people involved. I think, you know, the more people involved they're on the same page as far as like that, they're just going to bring more to the project.
Yeah.
And so I found some really good players. I'm recording it with Greg Schutte at his studio in the Northeast Minneapolis area, and he's playing drums as well.
This is a Bathtub Shrine studio.
Yeah, Bathtub yeah. Shrine. And Nick Salisbury is playing bass. And Dan Schwartz is playing a lot of different things. He's playing slide guitar, electric guitar, some banjo even, some mandolin.
Yeah, it's great to have a utility in the room. Somebody who can kind of go from thing to thing. It's not just stuck on one. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to be able to play with these guys and kind of get, since I moved to Minneapolis, kind of get connected with the local scene there. There's a lot of talented players there.
It's a great scene, yeah. But you've lived now, of course, in Bozeman, we talked about, and you lived in Iowa for a while.
Yep, I was in Des Moines. For a couple of years, and then before I moved to Minneapolis, I was in Richmond, Virginia, for 4 years.
Okay, so you did some moving around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the draw to Minneapolis then? I mean, besides, I think obviously the music scene and sort of thing. But
yeah, well, I work in local TV news as a photojournalist.
Okay,
and so I've always, and Minneapolis has always been kind of a destination for me, for a job, for music, for everything. Mm-hmm. Like location, I just really like the area.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a perfect fit for my interests.
It's a great Midwest hub, to say the least, just in terms of access to other regions. But mm-hmm. but too, just the music scene is so healthy there.
For sure.
So, yeah. And I guess that answers the question. As a television photojournalist, because your records are not, you're not doing one every year. You've had a few years between each record. So you've had some time. Obviously, you're not depending on the music to put food on the table. So that's,
right. Yeah, I'm lucky in that aspect as far as that. I don't have to depend on the music. And I can, you know, put music out when I have, you know, enough songs or enough things to say, you know.
Yeah. Well, do you think this is going to sound, I'm going to back into this poorly, so I guess I'll try to find another way of asking. But having that time to relax with it versus having to write music to... You've got to get another record out. We've got to keep this machine moving forward. Do you think it has an effect on how you write songs then? People who just have to churn out song after song after song. Do you think that would maybe more likely get them a hit or a whatever?
I don't know. Because I don't really, when I write, I don't really think in hits.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can really change that, how I write.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it would be different if I was playing every night.
Yeah.
If I was touring, you know, all the time. So I'm sure that's a good thing in some aspects, but also maybe a bad thing because, you know, you're only playing so many times.
Right.
You have to work around a day job and stuff. But I think there's most musicians, I kind of think that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky enough where I have a job that supports me. But also, you know, there's limitations to that as well. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now that you've made this record, it's your first since, I think, 2017 when Virginia Rose came out. You've basically had it a couple of months at this. So it's not like you were working on it for the last 3 years. You, I mean, in the studio anyway. But did the songs take, was that something you slowly sort of notebooked and sort of woodshedded for 3 years? Or does it, did you suddenly have a flurry?
Right. No, a lot of the songs are newer. There's a few that are older that kind of fit a theme for the album. Because that was the hardest part about this album was because I didn't go in there with 20 songs and record 20 songs, just, you know, that wouldn't financially make sense.
Yeah.
That'd be hard. But so the 12 songs that are going to be in the album, I took some time and kind of figured out. And then I've been playing them live for, you know, the last few years.
Yeah.
And so that helped as well. But they were pretty much solid as far as how they're going to go. A few things, tweaks here and there. As far as formatting goes, but they were, the songs were pretty much what I wanted them to be, and I was able to pick, you know, I had to have a bunch of them I could pick from as well.
Yeah. So these songs, and you said playing them live for a while, by as a solo artist or with other people?
Yeah, as a solo artist.
Okay, so now that you're bringing in people to sort of flush out those songs on record a bit, were you thinking all along while you're playing it live, boy, if I only had a...
Sometimes, yeah.
A this here, that would make this better. Right here, that's where that solo is going to go from the banjo, or this is where the
mandolin's going to hit. Some of the songs are really more full band songs, and then also I was really surprised sometimes in the studio, you know, where we had it, we were in there tracking, and I'd be like, I didn't even think of that, but this sounds great. You know, so that's what I really like about playing with other people is that it has the opportunity for surprises. And, you know, as an artist, I think that's really great to be open to other people's ideas because it just adds so much to the song.
Yeah, collaboration is quite a thing. And I was talking with a friend of mine earlier. We were trying to think of artists who've recorded an entire album where they were the entire band, you know, like a Steve Winwood or Stevie Wonder or McCartney or somebody who would make a record where they played the drums, the bass, the guitar, the piano, the thing, and all the vocals, and basically layered themselves over months and months. Much been really tricky to do that, but as a solo artist and you're out there alone, and you think about songs that get deconstructed when it's a solo artist who's away from the band, that you people might say, oh, I kind of missed that drum hit right there. That it's usually there, but you don't have a drummer today.
Yeah, it's a really different way of tracking and of putting a song together of when you're thinking of the other parts. And that's really been, I mean, the most fun but also the most challenging part of this album is knowing when not to put stuff on.
Yeah.
Or be like, okay, let's try this. And Greg Schutte at Bathtub Shrine has been great about, we've been collaborating a lot with that just in the process of overdubs and things like that. Being like, what are you hearing here? And then be like, yeah, maybe this, no, not that. And that's the biggest thing about, I think, songwriting in general is knowing when the song is enough and not have to keep pushing it, keep adding things. And
that, I gotta say, that's really refreshing. There, just in the pop music world, the hit factory world,
right,
that of course KMD doesn't really engage with that much, and that seems to be, these days, the philosophy seems to be fill every space, you know, just layer and layer and layer, and not letting the space, the breath into the music a bit. It seems to be a rarity these days, more and more.
For sure. I think that's why I was fortunate enough to be able to play these songs and learn, because once you write, when you write a song, you it's down on paper, but it's still changing, it's still forming as far as when you keep playing it. Like,
yeah,
I've noticed that. Like, when I write a song, the format isn't always there. You know, the lyrics and the chords and stuff are there and the melody, but then as far as like the instrumental breaks, how I want to get into it,
mm-hmm,
I want to put a bridge here, that kind of thing, that happens when you start playing it.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky enough where I was able to play these songs and work through that.
Did that go further with other people in the studio? You're talking about adding them into the song, but as far as the arrangement, the layout of the song, the map of the song, did, mm-hmm, that change at all in the studio too?
Not really. I mean, I had a pretty strong idea on how I wanted them to go.
Yeah.
Because the songs were pretty much fully formed. The biggest thing is, like, you know, when you're playing solo, you're going to add an extra measure here to catch a breath, or,
right,
you know, change the pace here a little bit. So that was the biggest thing, is just tightening them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing now what the what these songs sound like with more instruments around them. Because
that,
like I said, so often you'll see an artist out on a solo gig without the band, and you sort of hear it deconstructed. But now to imagine them being constructed with more instruments, that's going to be something to hear.
Yeah.
So this is your latest album, The Fire and the Medicine. The phrase that's been on in the copy I've seen is due out this spring. And according to the calendar, that's 3 weeks away. But do you have any idea of what the
the
target drop is going to be?
Yeah, that's a very general term.
Well, that's good for you. You don't want to tie yourself to something. But
yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to hopefully have the first song out in May.
Okay.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're here tonight in Duluth at Bent Pedal Brewing from 6 to 8 o'clock. Anybody else opening or playing along with you?
No,
or
just going to be me.
Just you on the stage for 2 hours? Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. At Bent Pedal tonight, Eli Gardner. And again, latest album, Fire and the Medicine. Let's hear one more song.
All
right. Been sitting here watching the tide roll in, watch it roll out again, just like me and you. There's been these crazy nights, trouble and hurt and all the fights. Where would I be without you in my life? It's just me and you. 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 So when you're down and out, trouble is all around. Don't you let it get you down. I'll help you on through. So hold me close in the dark. We will hold on to this spark. Carry it with us from the start. Cause it's just me and you. It's just me and you. Just me and you. It's just me and you. It's just me and you. Sitting here watching the time go by, goes in the blink of an eye. You know it's true. So when the wolves are at your door, you can't tell what this life is for. I'll hold you close once more. Cause it's just me and you. 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 Just me and you. It's just me and you.
Live in Studio A, it's Eli Gardner. That song, is it called Just Me and You? Or is it is it on the new record as well?
Yeah.
I was looking at the track listing for the demos of this album, and I don't see it there, so I was just curious if that one's
recently. Didn't make the demo cut?
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay.
So, but that was last year, so.
Yeah.
But so that one's obviously a more recent tune.
Yeah, yeah, that was one of those where it came real quick, and I was like, this is someone else's song, or I just kind of dismissed it for about a month.
Mm.
And when I write songs, I record like voice memos, came back to it next month, I was like, oh, I forgot about this, but I like it.
Yeah, have that little snippet. Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you recorded that one. So that'll be on the new record, Fire and the Medicine, starting to roll out in spring sometime. So.
Yes.
Great. And you are at Bent Pedal tonight. Now, you've come up, you've obviously put down your camera now from the television world and come up here to play this gig. Are you on the road for a while? Are you going off to another gig after this one tonight?
No, I'm going back to Minneapolis tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there going to be moments, do you think, where you'll have to hit the road for a while just for the fun of it? Or are you going to try and...
We'll see. Yeah. You know, I'm just kind of taking it as it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll be up here in March again at Sir Benedict's.
Okay.
I think it's the 31st, like it's on Tuesday.
Well, we'll look out for that for sure.
Yeah.
So you're welcome to Duluth anytime, of course, and to KMD as well. Make sure to send us a copy of the new record when it's done. So.
Definitely will.
Good. Well, Eli Gardner, thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure having you here today. Eli Gardner here live from Studio A. Produced by Christine Dean. I'm Chris Harwood. Funding provided for this session today by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, you can go to kmd.org and click on the Live from Studio A link under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KMD. Thanks for listening.